Welcome to episode 8 of The Effortless Athlete, brought to you by the guys at High Power Performance. On today's episode, we have the host of Combo's Court podcast, more commonly known as Combo, Andrew Salop. Combo shares stories from his professional career in Israel and Denmark. He talks about dealing with adversity and the cultural shock of living in a foreign country. On the training front, Combo shares advice on always looking for new information to improve, doing things differently than others, and finding your edge. We discuss the importance of defining goals for your players and helping them become self-sufficient in training. Combo shares his 5 keys to reaching your hoop dreams and advice for balancing rigidity with play. And finally, we talk about today's NBA, how the game has changed and where it's going, and some of Combo's predictions for the playoffs and future MVP races. We hope you enjoy listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Now let's get to it.
What up, everyone? Welcome to the Effortless Athlete Podcast with Alex Castlander and Bobby White. Wow. Don't forget to rate, review, and punch down on that subscribe button.
They got to pause right now to go do that, right?
Definitely got to pause. Come right back to it. You know what I mean?
That's effortless. That's mean, if you want to,
professional, right?
Yeah, that's
we need that.
The way that just rolls off. Yeah. We don't have any of that.
No.
And
it takes time. It takes time.
I've been listening. You weren't doing that a couple of years ago. So it's been I've known you for years now, playing back in New York City, and to see your growth getting into the podcast thing and transitioning from a playing career into this and keeping basketball, you know, in your life and is really unbelievable for me to watch as a fellow basketball guy. But I'd like to just start off, man. And if you tell us about growing up in the city, playing ball, and kind of about your journey from, you know, New York City to college and then playing overseas. How long did you play overseas?
10 years, about nine, yeah. 10 years. Yeah.
So if you could just kind of go through that journey with us, it'd be great.
Yeah. So, you know, I grew up in Riverdale, a Jewish section of the Bronx in, you know, New York City, and, you know, was playing basketball growing up in Riverdale, playing basketball. Then I ventured out to all over New York, you know, just playing in different places. Me and Bobby even probably played a few places as we got older. And, you know, just meeting all kinds of people. And it was an amazing, like, growing up in New York City playing basketball is just different because there's, you know, there's a court on every corner and there's tournaments everywhere. And that tournament scene, it's really like, it's something different when you're in New York City. You know that, Bobby. I know you ventured out and played in some of those tournaments. But, you know, that's really where I feel like I got my toughness from and where I got, you know, just that's where I really learned the game from, just playing in the streets of New York City. But then, you know, I, you know, played in high school, prep school, went to JUCO. And then, you know, school wasn't really my thing. I encourage everybody to go to school out there, but I just started playing professionally in the,
I don't,
you know, in the ABA. You don't encourage them?
Yeah. My dad, sorry to cut you, but my dad was up yesterday. I'm like,
that's okay.
Dad, if I had to do it all over again, why did you send me to college? I wasted so much money going to college. But just joking.
Yeah,
no,
you're back there now. You can't.
Yeah, no, I actually just went back to college. But it was, everybody's journey is different. And I don't regret going. But yeah, anyway.
No, most definitely. You know, when I started playing in the ABA, which is like a minor league, you know, it was kind of like, before the G League was really big, it was a pretty good league before that started really
popping
off.
What team did you play on?
The Westchester Phantoms.
I was on the New Jersey Express.
Yeah, I remember. Marsha was her name, right?
Marsha Blunt, yep.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, definitely. Shouts to Marsha. I wonder if they're still doing that.
They are. Right? I don't know if she's there anymore, but the team is still going. I don't know if I'd call it strong, but they're still going.
Yeah, man. I mean, playing in those leagues is kind of crazy because teams are always folding. It's a crazy, you know, it's a crazy system. I mean, my team was pretty cool. Like, you know, everything went pretty smooth. We went to Canada and Singapore. So, you know, we took my film. Going back to JUCO, I was an all-region player. I actually hurt my knee a season. Then I went back to playing in JUCO. So then to the ABA, I actually just had knee surgery again yesterday. So I got this big, Ah, not great, man. This is don't ever get knee surgery, man. No, ACL? But I, yeah, ACL, yeah, meniscus. It's not fun. But
you got a smile on your face, though. I think you talked to me once when I was injured. I certainly wasn't smiling. So you're doing better than I would be.
Yeah, I got a pretty good attitude about it. It's a lot easier to handle with now with my career behind me, you know, because the first time I had it, I was 18 and everything was in front of me. And it's just like, oh, man, it really messed me up when you have that kind of injury, like looking forward into your career, you know, because I was looking to play professionally, which ended up happening. But yeah, so after college, I didn't want to do 4-year school. So I played in the ABA and then, you know, an agent got his hands on my film and he took me to Israel. And then from there on, you know, I played in Israel and Denmark and, you know, it was a fantastic experience. I learned more off the court than on it. And I learned a lot about the game, you know, playing over there. There's just a different style of play. You know, everything's different. It's just incredible. The difference we've seen here and there. I'm sure it's closer together, the style of play now because of YouTube and all technology. Even though there was YouTube now, but you know, yeah, it was a great experience, man. That's the really brief story. I'm sure there's more in here.
Well, tell us, give us some more detail. Like, tell us what that experience was like, and maybe the biggest change as far as the style of play and who you were going up against over in Israel.
Yeah, the style of play was different because when I first got there, they had the trapezoid lane, and it was a funky 3-point line. It wasn't the NBA line, but it wasn't really the college line either. Things were dirtier around the rim, like they'd get under you, you know, when you jump, like, you know, they slide into you like this. And then when they got called foul, they'd go, what? No, you can't do that, man. You know, but, and also the travels were different too. They called travel on like everything. It was weird. You had to put the ball down before you stepped. It was weird, man.
You said you learned more off the court than even on the court. What can you speak on that a little bit and like what you took from just being overseas? I know I did. I lived in China for 6 months as a coach, but I mean, it was I would say the exact same thing. Like, did you love these? I didn't love a lot of the experience, but going back, I would do it again in a heartbeat for honestly more of the type of person it helped me become, you know, just doing it. You know, you hear, I kind of grew up always with these ideas of wanting to travel and do all these things. And you hear a lot of people talk about it, but few people actually take that step, that uncomfortable step, and do something like that and separate yourself from your family and everything and go over there. Can you speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think when you're going to play basketball or even maybe when you were going as a trainer, you're only thinking about the basketball part of it and not really realize that you're actually going to have to live in a foreign country. And if you never lived in a foreign country, you have no idea what that entails. Like, you know, some people might not speak English. The food is totally different. You might not have family near you. So yeah, you definitely have to deal with a lot of adversity, no matter how good or bad things are going on the court. You know, the off the court stuff is a totally different experience because, you know, some of your teammates have family to go back to and you're just going back to where you live by yourself. And especially when I first started, technology wasn't even as good yet. You know, there was no FaceTime, you know, you had Skype and stuff, but man, it was tough, you know, when I was young and yeah, it was just, you know, learning a different culture was tough, but obviously, you know, it made me a better person. It made me a stronger person.
Right. I have a lot of kids that, you know, want to play pro ball and talk about going overseas and stuff. And you're exactly right. It's more along the lines, I want to play ball overseas, but you know, you're actually transplanting and living there. The stuff you have to deal with. I mean, for me personally, when I was in China, like I would get nervous if I had to go to Walmart, like just think like simple things here that we don't have to think about going to get food or eating and things like that for me were incredibly challenging because I had to figure out how to get a taxi or get a ride to the Walmart. Then I go there and I mean, I'm a 6'7" white guy in China. I'd be followed around, people taking my pictures. I'm nobody, you know, I'm a coach over there. And they're taking my pictures, following me. But by the time I, like a couple months in, I was like, it was just such a big deal and took so much effort to do anything like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say you're a nobody, Bobby, but yeah, no, it's definitely a different experience, man. And just, you know, just like that, like just going to the store, like in Israel, like, you know, there was security in every mall, you know, you see soldiers with big rifles just walking around the streets, you know, it's just, you just had to adapt to it and you get used to it eventually, but man, it's definitely like, it's almost like culture shock, no matter where you go, because nowhere is quite like America, you know, everywhere is different, you know.
Looking back on, you know, growing up in a Jewish section of New York City and then, you know, becoming a professional basketball player, is there anything like what did you do well? Like, let's start with that. Looking at your career and training and all that, what did you think you hit on the head that you did really well that got you there? What were some of the key things that you can look back on and really separated you from everybody else that didn't make it?
Yeah, I think that I tried to find ways to work on my game that other people wouldn't do, you know, like I didn't really want to be like everybody else. I kind of wanted to do things my own way, which actually has its, you know, benefits, but also in a team sport, it could have its disadvantages as well when you're kind of in your own world, you know, kind of doing your own thing. So I think I just wanted to do things that would help me get better. Like I would try and find things that nobody else was doing and do those things and apply it, you know, just always looking for information and how to get better, you know, just little things. And then, you know, over time you learn your body and you learn, you get better with that stuff, you know, figuring out things on your own, I think is so important.
What's the key to that process? Like nowadays, you know, we talk about all the time, all these kids, they're looking at trainers and players and everything's kind of on Instagram, you know, whatever, TikTok, and everything's broken down for them. Right.
I think that's a problem right there. You know, I think that stuff is good. Like you need that stuff, but if you're just going to a group workout with 20 people and you guys are all doing the same thing, what's the edge you have over those 20 people? You kind of got to break off and do your own thing and do things that nobody else is doing. And it's hard for a kid because, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, I know the word follower, you think about social media, but there's a lot of people that are just followers and trying to do what everybody else is doing. You know, you got to kind of stay focused and locked in on yourself, you know?
Yeah, it's a combination of understanding your physical gifts and stuff that you were born with, whether you have size or maybe you're smaller and you have speed or maybe you know, you have different ways that you move that are deceptive. And I think a lot of kids, again, following others and looking at others. I mean, you look at the greats, anybody. I mean, Kobe, you know, he tried to mirror Jordan, but he, again, made it his own. And he was hard-headed enough to, you know, do it his way. And I think all the greats were looking at other greats, you know, in previous generations to kind of model their game after. But now I think with, you know, our phones in our pocket and social media and looking at highlights and everything, I think these kids spend more time looking at highlights than actually getting on the floor, right? I'm not trying to knock film and watching video, but, you know, we're just on our phone watching other people. You know, we've got to get out or they've got to get out. And that's why I try to self-empower, like get my kids to, you know, more be self-empowered and not need me and not rely on me. And I'd love to get them, if they got to a place where they said, hey, I don't really need you anymore, you know, and I'm going to go, you know, I got the tools, I would be happy.
Most definitely. No, I mean, we're living in an era where everybody's just watching everybody else, you know, you're absolutely right. And another thing that helped me, which probably doesn't really help anybody else, was that, you know, I was like a guard. I was really small. I was like 5'8" when I was, you know, in eighth grade. And then I just grew. So that helped a lot as well. But that really isn't some advice that could help anybody. I got lucky. You know, I got lucky.
Worked for Scottie Pippen, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of guys at that situation. Like, I think AD was playing point guard when he was, you know, in high school. So I guess it's some luck and some just, you know, doing the right things, you know, doing the right things, but also my passion. Like I didn't want to do anything else. And that's a lot of thing that sometimes that's something you can't duplicate. You know, some people have passion, some people don't.
So how long were you playing in Israel for?
About 6-7 years. And then I went to Denmark for a year and then I went back to Israel.
And what are those seasons like? Like how long?
Oh, they're long, man. They're like 8 to 9 months because it's only one game a week and it's, a lot of weeks in a row. It seems like it never stops.
So what's that schedule like? You say one game a week. Are you practicing?
Yeah, and then you practice usually have one day off, like the day after a game, you know. Depends on your team, depends on the league. But yeah, it's usually like, you know, when I was playing in one of the top leagues, you know, there was a lot of two-a-days preseason, you know, there was training camp. So it depends on where you are. Yeah. It's tough though, man. It's I will say though that overseas practice is a lot easier than college practice. Like I think college practice is a lot of unnecessary running. Like you're just running around. Like, what was the point of all those suicides, you know? What do you think, Bobby?
What was the overseas practice like? Like are they
it's more tactical, more you're warming up into it, you know, like you're not out the gates going full speed, you know, you're kind of warming your. And it's funny, it's like 30 minutes of like warm up, then you stretch, and then you get into some team stuff. I remember like in college, we used to stretch first. That was an adjustment too. Like you would stretch, even though I would stretch before anyway, but you practice for like 30 minutes and then stretch overseas. I guess because they wanted you to get warm first. I don't know. It was just different.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I was fortunate or unfortunate, when I lived in China, our coach was a New Jersey, you know, American guy. So we had shorter practices, but it was wild for me to see their culture. And like those guys out there, they'll be in the gym 8 hours a day, every day from the time they're 9 years old. They get picked up real young and brought into the program and they just get worn out. But with that, instead of having any type of explosiveness or speed or whatever, when you practice, our bodies can't take 8 hours in the gym every day. Right. So what happens is their practice level is slow, really slow. And even their game level relative to, you know, you watch a college game here, or AU game here. I went out there and I was like, these guys are slow. Like, they're not bad. They're very skilled. They can shoot. They try real hard, but they're just, you can tell they're just worn out. None of them can really jump too high. And it was cool to see the combination of me and another American coach toning down their volume. Right. And what that did for them. And when I came in, we had three veterans on the team that, you know, we're all big time guys out in China, and they were between 35 and 37, but they were probably between 40 and 45 years old. Wow. And those guys, they didn't know how to, like, if squatting was good, right, they were going to squat as many times as they possibly could, not paying any attention to the weight on it or anything like that. Oh, squatting is good for jumping, so we're just going to squat 9 million times every single day. And it's actually funny because you could see their legs were so built up and so massive, right, just from the amount of load, right? It created that change in that they had these huge tree trunk legs, but they couldn't jump and they couldn't move. And they had low back pain and knee pain and stuff like that. And I came in and I looked at what they're doing. I was like, we're going to cut, you know, 50% of this out. We'll let the guys, because they have the routines that, you know, that they think are important. And it was about like meeting them where they're at, toning down their volume. And within weeks, and I wasn't doing anything crazy. Like, literally, I just cut out a lot of their practice time and a lot of their lifting, and I cut things out. And they were praising me like I was some genius, right? Because their back stopped hurting, their knees stopped hurting, and they started jumping better.
It's so important, like rest and recovery, that balance between rest and recovery and working out, and just, you know, what you do on the court, what you do in the weight room, it's so important. Just learning your own body, and everybody's different, you know, everybody's different, everybody recovers differently. Some people could, you know, don't need as much recovery, to be quite honest, than others, you know, and some people need it. That's why sometimes you see in college, you'll see certain players starting in the beginning because they were just better at practice because they had more energy, you know, not necessarily that they were the better player. And then you start to see over time, like, who the actual better players are. And it happens a lot like that because coaches are just, you know, seeing that guy that could go crazy all practice because they have a different kind of motor, you know? So it's interesting. It's interesting. Like, Kobe obviously had a crazy motor where he could just work out. Like, what Kobe did probably wouldn't be beneficial for everybody, right? Like, not everybody could work out like him. They would be burnt out.
But yeah, I wouldn't be able to do it.
He was built differently.
I've shared it a couple of times, but I would go into my college seasons and be taking off one step in from the foul line, throwing, you know, 360 dunks, and a couple of weeks in, I wouldn't be able to get out of bed. I could never withstand the college schedule. I mean,
I remember they used to bring us through the trail and be on a four-wheeler behind us, keeping our pace, and my back was killing me.
Right.
I was like, what's the point of this? This is crazy. Right. You know? 50 suicides right after.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the point, you know?
No, I love talking to guys that actually played the game. And I've seen you play quite a bit in the city. And I know you had we talked about your long career overseas. What are your thoughts on, I guess we'll just go, not, I think what we see on social media of training is actually different than actually what's going on with training. I think you can look at it a couple different ways, but from what you see, you know, if we're talking about the Instagram type trainers and guys like that, how do you think about that? Or what do you think about that?
I think some of them are good. They're just putting the stuff that's going to go viral, right? They're probably doing some like other stuff. And like, they're probably like, let's say they have an hour workout and 5 minutes of it looks cool and something that'll go viral on social. Like, they'll probably put that part on and not show the rest of their workout.
Yeah, so I do that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, you know, so I'm sure there's other guys like you that are really good trainers. So, you know, for somebody to criticize those guys and not really know what they're doing for the full hour is unfair. But then there are those that probably copy those guys and think that's what they are doing, you know, for the full hour. I think the important thing some of that stuff is cool, like, especially as a warm up, doing some like different type, you know, weird stuff that might look crazy or might look like it won't translate to a game because, you know, you're pushing your limits and your boundaries. Should that be the meat and potatoes having like three tennis balls, two basketballs, a chair, and a, you know, a soccer net. No, but I mean, maybe for like a few minutes just to have some fun and work on something different. I don't think that's a huge deal. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you definitely got to get your, like, you got to get your reps up, like, you know, whether it be catch and shoot or just one dribble pull-ups. And then you got to work on your game situation. And then you got to get in the weight room. And there's a lot of stuff that's boring that you really have to, you know, drill and get better at that won't look good for social media, but that won't go the algorithm. That won't really help with your, with the algorithms, right? Like if I'm just shooting spot up jumpers, that's not going to really get a lot of reach, but you know, something with some chairs and some other stuff, it's going to go far, and negative and positive. People are going to be making fun of it and other people are going to think it's cool.
So. Yeah. I get both all the time.
Yeah. You know, Bobby, he's on one knee and then he rolls with his medicine ball and then he catches the basketball and then
the Bobby White special.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. If you're not doing it, you're wrong.
You're still training players right now as well? Maybe before the ACL?
I mostly focus on the podcast, but I do once in a while. Yeah.
Okay. And yeah. What are some things like you, if you have a new high school kid coming in, you know, will you put him through some sort of assessment before you start going, or do you watch some film on him? Like, how do you start with a new player and kind of, you know, structure the time you're going to spend with him?
Well, I want to know his goals first, you know, mm-hmm. I want to know what he wants to do with basketball, because some people, they're just like, they're not serious about it. So, mm-hmm. you know, but if there's a certain goal that they want to reach, then I'll definitely work on it with them and try and get a feel through the first couple of workouts on, you know, what they want to get better at. But I do have a basic, I wouldn't say it's a template, like it's not written down, but I do have a way that I like to work out. Like I like to warm up with ball handling and layups and then move my way out gradually. And then in every workout, I like to have players, you know, shooting in every direction, shooting, catch and shoot, shooting off the dribble, shooting off a dribble move, shooting mm-hmm. off a one dribble pull up. Like I like to mix it up and get all of that in every mm-hmm. single workout. Obviously, if there's one thing the person wants to work on, or I feel he should work on, we're going to zone into that. But I think it's really important, especially in today's game, to be dynamic and to be able to score in every way from all three levels, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And are you working, do you work just individual sessions?
Yeah. Yeah. For the most part. Yep.
The way you started that, you know, well, I'd have to know what his goals are. That's not normal. And that's not a typical response. It's our response, right? If somebody asks me, well, it really depends on what the athlete wants and what his goals are. If he's just trying to have a good time and maybe get some cardio in, you know, we'll have some fun. But if he tells me he wants to, you know, make it to the league or play overseas, right? That's a completely different story. And how we're going to, you know, structures, workouts are going to be completely on what he told us and what he fed us and what, or even she is after. And,
right.
The different levels and being, you know, today's game is so, it's so variable. Like you watch the finishes and the guys that can shoot from the logo and all this type of stuff. If they tell me they want to someday play at that level, right, I feel like I'm doing them a disservice if I'm not doing things that are going to get them to that level. And right, to get to that, you know, we do some stuff that looks different, but it's not different for the sake of being different, right? Right. I really believe the stuff and there might be some things, and I'll say that we did this because I wanted the kids to be uncomfortable. I wanted them to have fun. I wanted to smile. I wanted to change the energy in the room, right? That's another thing. But a lot of the stuff we do is trying to elicit the behaviors that we see in the game. I watch a lot of film now, a lot of college film. I watch high school games, pro games. I'm really into that now, and not just looking at the ball, what the ball is doing, actually looking at what the bodies of these athletes are doing and the positions that they get into. And that's really what we're focusing on. But your first episode, it was, what was the title?
5 Keys to Reach Your Hoop Dreams.
Can you go through those real quick?
Yeah, I hope I remember.
You remember them? I think I got three of them.
Player sport was a big one. I love that one because, you know, you have to play basketball to get better at basketball. I think it's the
biggest one.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that one. That's my favorite one.
Player sport. And yeah, player sport. Again, we look at anybody in the NBA right now, not anybody, let's go 95% of the NBA right now. What did they do growing up more than anybody?
Yeah. Play their sport.
I think they played more than everybody at a high level. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and definitely, and some of that, and some of the guys in the NBA obviously have tremendous athletic tools that others don't. But yeah, they were definitely playing, you know, Especially, I feel like, well, I feel like today's NBA is more drilled than maybe like 10 years ago, right? Because sometimes you see these guys taking like step back jumpers for no reason. You know, like you see players like that. There's even some all-star level players. I'm not even going to name their names here, but they'll just step back for no reason when they just have a one dribble pull up, you know? That's just from probably over drilling, I would say. I don't know. Maybe not enough playing in the offseason. Because if we're just going to take 250 step back jumpers, you probably, there's a chance that you could do that for no reason eventually, right? Instead of like getting more in a flow. I think the game is all about flow.
Agreed. What was number two?
I don't know if that was, and I don't know if these are in order, but skill development was definitely one of them. Athletic development was definitely one of them. Nutrition was big. And there has to be a fifth one, right? It's five keys to reach your hoop dreams.
Was it nutrition and recovery, or was that two different things?
Man, yeah, I think that was the same one. Was it mindset? I gotta mindset. Go back.
Let's go.
It's gotta be some mental.
Yeah, it was probably mindset. But yeah, so it was definitely skill development, player sport, athletic development, nutrition, and it probably was mindset, you know, doing what others aren't doing, like something to that effect.
All right.
Remember that's 245 episodes ago.
Yeah,
whatever it was.
Yeah. I've been there. Now say mindset. Is there much different in the mindset you had as a player and the mindset you have now as a podcaster?
Not really. I'm kind of like, you know, just always thinking about ways I could get better, you know, always continuing to work, putting yourself out there. I think, and it's not just with me. I think I see a lot of successful people, even on social, like people on social media that are really successful that I know play. Like I have two friends in prep school that are like, they built really big platforms on social media, not even in the basketball realm, you know, in other realms. Just because they knew about that consistency and hard work and what they learned from basketball, you know? And I think that helps me as well because, you know, you learn the discipline, you learn dedication, and obviously I have a passion already for basketball. So it was like a natural route for me. But no, the mindset isn't that much different. The good thing about it though is I could be on more on my own schedule, you know? I don't have to be, even though I do miss the locker room and teams, and I always had a lot of great friends in the team, you could kind of, you know, make your own schedule now. You don't have to, you can work on your own game the whole time.
Yeah.
What's the difference between the preparation mindset when, as a basketball player, or as a podcaster, whatever you know, kind of want to relate to, or both, hopefully, the difference between your mindset when you're preparing, right? You're going through film, scout, whatever you're training, you're writing down your questions for your next podcast guest, right? And then the performance mindset, and you know, how does that change?
Yeah, you want to write down, and I think, you know, as you become a more developed podcast and you get through it, you want to make it more conversational. You know, I think when you first start podcasting, you like just go through your questions. Well, you guys are doing a great job. You guys don't even look like you're going on a paper.
We have no questions. Nothing. We don't do any of that. No, we just
talk. That's good. Yeah. That's not how I started. I mean, I still write my stuff down to this day, but it's almost like I probably wouldn't have to. I just, because it's out of like habit, you know. Yeah. But now I probably won't even have to look at it as much because you have to like know your question, and then you have to, while you're thinking about what you want to segue to, you know, have a good follow-up question. So, but all that becomes more natural over time. But you guys are, you know, ahead of the grade with it. You guys are doing that already. So
I would consider myself a great conversationalist.
You're natural. You're a conversationalist.
Yes, sir.
I just surround myself with the best. That's all.
Yeah. Bobby White's the best, man.
Yeah. So
you heard it here.
So on the court, what advice would you have for players developing those two mindsets, the preparation and then the performance?
Yeah, I guess preparation. And also I had Brian Levinson on my podcast, who this is probably his expertise. I think he had a whole book on this, preparation mindset versus performance mindset. But yeah, you know, I think preparation is a little more rigid and then game is a little more flow. And you have to be a little more loose, you know, not as rigid. And it's more like adapting to situations within a game. But I think when you're preparing, you have like a set thing you want to do. And I think it's important to have that, you know, probably just more rigid and more, you know, basically, you know what you're going to do when you go into practice. In a game, you don't know, you just have to go with the flow and trust what you worked on. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the difference in mindset.
Maybe you and Brian touched on this, or maybe you could just speak, you know, from your own experience. But in training, like Bobby and I have been talking about, we still want to reach that flow at some point though. Like while it is more rigid, yeah, like you said, and it's drilled and it's like, today we're going to work on this and this is our focus. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, try to get your foot here, try to get your, you know, your body in this position. There still is that desire and that need to reach the flow, correct?
Most definitely. Like, I think that's important, like to have your kids play one-on-one, maybe with mm-hmm. some restrictions, you know, that builds flow, that builds game situation, mm-hmm. whether you tell them to play like three dribbles or only mid-range or only use your opposite hand. But the thing is though, some rigidity is necessary because you want to get a certain amount of reps in as well, right?
Yep.
If you're only doing stuff with flow, you're probably not going to get the amount of reps in to really take your efficiency to the next level, right? You want to shoot, especially at the end of workouts, I like to do like a lot of spot up, you know. I think that's mm-hmm. important, because if you're just doing game situation and one-on-one and then you're not getting enough reps up. So I think you have to combine it. I think you have to get a lot of reps up and then do more game situation and flow stuff. So I think it's, you know, you got to touch on everything.
That's mm-hmm. what we don't generally plan, like a full workout, right? We'll start, maybe it's a little bit more rigid. Maybe we're trying to get them in a certain position or whatever. And they struggle. One starts to get it, two start to get it, three start to get it, and then the flow starts to come. So it's not like this is a rigid drill. We're working on a specific set of footwork and it's going to stay this way and you have to do it right. Right. And we never really say the words like that. That's right or wrong. Right. Because
right. There is no right. I mean, you're right. There is no right and wrong, because some players could do the wrong thing. I mean, shooting a right foot, right hand layup used to be wrong when I was a kid, like supposedly. Yeah. Like, right. Obviously we know that's not wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anything's wrong as long as it works for the person and you could continue to reach the next level with it. Like, look at Tyrese Halliburton's jump shot, you know, like everybody's different.
Look at LaMelo's.
So, yeah. Look at LaMelo's. Yeah. Yeah.
He's shooting at a pretty high clip right now.
He is.
From anywhere.
Great. And his brother's playing a lot better too. So
yeah.
Shouts to the Ball brothers.
So now, you know, playing career is done. You got a bum knee here that hopefully won't slow down your podcasting career. But
nah, it won't.
What are you shooting for? Do you have a, you know, a mission level, like hard goal that you want to attain? Are you just doing your best every day?
It's funny. I had a network reached out to me and we talked about it. And they asked me the same question. I'm like, I kind of felt like I'm like, should I have said that? But I was just being honest. Like, I just want to be the greatest at what I do, you know? That was basically my answer to it.
What do you do?
What we're doing right now.
This is it. You want to be the best at this?
Yes.
How do you measure that? Can you?
I don't know.
That's what I listen to guys that study flow.
I think there are people that are like really good at podcasts. Like, you could say Joe Rogan's one of the best, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ferris, you know? I'd say, yep. Is up there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yep. So even Joe Budden is up there, you know? Yeah. But it's funny, the people that are the best are probably it's just natural, you know, it's just natural conversation. So yeah, I just want to continue to get better at what I do.
Like you're saying, it's natural conversation. It's natural for them, but that doesn't mean it was always, right? Whether it's Rogan or whoever, Rogan's been doing comedy and announcing fight for how many years? You know, he ended his jiu-jitsu career whenever, and he got right into performing. So he's been doing this for 30 years or something
that. Yeah, it was a natural flow. It wasn't right. Because Joe Rogan was stand-up comedian. He was always communicating. That was Joe Rogan's biggest profession. Like, that was his role. He was always communicating. Joe Budden was always rapping. And now he just commentates on the rap landscape, you know, the hip-hop landscape. So this is natural progressions for them, just like I think this is a natural progression for me. And to become the best. Like, really, like, I want to become the greatest and then to have the biggest platform possible, you know, just mm-hmm. one step at a time. I think that's the goal.
Who's your main audience right now? Do you know? Like who are you trying to connect with the guests you have and kind of, you know,
I don't think
conversations you have? Is it all basketball fans and players?
I was doing more non-basketball episodes before it. I wish I could get back mm-hmm. to that. I don't know why it's been all basketball lately, even though that's my life. I like doing other stuff as well. But no, I think, you know, we've talked about, like, we've had episodes about hip hop and sneakers. We've had battle rappers on. We've had cognitive scientists who are also into basketball. So I think it's people who enjoy the game of basketball. And I don't think there's an age demographic with that, you know. And my guess, obviously, you know, I've had Buster on, who was like, you know, 19. And then I've had Jay Billis on, who's, I don't know how old Jay Billis is, but, you know, my guests vary in age and my listeners vary in age. So. I don't think it's a certain demographic mm-hmm. right now. I just think it's people who really enjoy the game and maybe want to hear a little bit different of a perspective.
Yeah. That's cool. So how did you, going back, like when your playing career was over, you spent 10 years, you said, overseas.
Yeah. Yeah.
How'd you get started with the podcast? Was it right away or?
Yeah, it was something I was, from the end of that yeah, career? It was something I was thinking about my last year because I wanted to get into like, I thought play-by-play was cool and commentary. So, mm-hmm. and then I was like, how could I do this on my own? And I was like, yeah, let me just start a show, you know, and I was listening to podcasts a lot. I think it was like 2016, 2017. I'm like, how could I start this? And I just looked it up and I started, you know.
You started yesterday?
Well, is that your, one of your slogans?
Yeah.
I started yesterday. Yeah. So, I still have I still have your shirt somewhere. I don't know where it is.
Yeah. I don't have your socks. So how did you start you. As far as, you know, getting guests on and just learning the whole process and improving and maybe some of the challenges you faced early on?
I'd like to think that I'm well-connected in the basketball world. So once people found out I had a podcast, I had a lot of friends that would reach out like, I think you should get him on, or, you know, I could get you Quinn Richardson, or I could get you this guy, or, you know, and then obviously a lot of it is reaching out as well. Via all, you know, email or wherever it may be. But I think it's a combination of both. You know, I think some things fell into my lap because of my previous relationships in the game, but then also reaching out to guests that I thought were interesting and different.
You want to go through some NBA predictions?
From yeah. Combo? So I've been listening.
Hey guys, I have time. I got one leg here. So whatever you guys need.
Okay.
You
know? The NBA. So I always laugh when like you got your 40, 50 year old guy, you know, older guys now that, you know, will just hate on today's game. Right. And they just spend so much energy hating on where there's no defense. It's lazy. Everyone's about themselves. I'm like, yeah, but you're going to change that. Right. Well, why are we talking about this? Like people comment on I had some finishing drill the other day. Guy comments, oh, you should just be doing the miking drill. I'm like, my guys would dunk on miking. Like, get out of this, you know, like it's not the same sport. And that's like my thing. Again, a kid tells me I'm not going to spend time, whether I like the current NBA or not. It's not I'm not going to change the current NBA. Right. I can develop players that I think, you know, in the right way that can fit in that NBA. But what are your thoughts on a current NBA? And do you think is it still transitioning, or would you like to come back on certain areas of the game? You know, I've watched the Jordan doc. I'm on my third or fourth time through it right now. And I watch Pistons, and I'm like, that gets me amped up watching them play the Bad Boys and all that type of stuff. And I'd love to see a little bit more of that. You know, everybody's friends now. But what are your thoughts?
I don't think they're like, I guess people are friends, but I think people are playing hard. And I think in the playoffs, it gets really competitive.
Yeah.
Not all those teams were, not every team was like the Bad Boys back then. It was like, there were some soft teams back then too. Not soft, but they weren't just as, you know, fouling you like the Pistons, you know, there was like the Suns, like Dan Marley and Kevin Johnson, they weren't fouling. They weren't hacking people. That was a little bit later though. But what I'm saying is that, you know, even when you saw Jordan run through the Suns team, like he was in transition and nobody was touching him. So I think we have like these fantasies about what the NBA used to be. And that was just like one or two teams that really played like that. But I love the modern NBA, man. It's like, it's a combination of, you can't deny it. Steph Curry changed the game, right?
100%. Yeah.
Analytics changed the game. And I think also the European influence really changed the game. I think we have that spread offense, that style of play that, you know, I first started seeing when I went overseas. Now it's in the NBA. And I think a combination of those three things is what we're seeing in the NBA today. And I love it, man. I think it's a more skilled sport. I don't think the defense is as bad as people think. I think just these players are so talented offensively, you know. They just have so many options in their bag, and it's just tough to guard these guys. Mm-hmm. And also, I think the defense will catch up eventually, you know. It just hasn't yet.
You think the defense, like on a one-on-one or like on a team?
And
like,
scheme. No, like in terms of schemes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times everybody's just copying each other, and somebody's going to figure out a better way to guard in the modern NBA. You know,
yeah, but so like let's take Steph or Dame or any of those guys. I mean, you're going to have to pick them up, you know, beyond half court, right?
That's the issue. Yeah,
you're going to have maybe deeper rosters, so you can maybe do more like a hockey style subbing to just stay with guys like that.
Yeah, or maybe you have somebody like I don't know, somebody like Giannis's size who is just better on defense than Giannis, like guarding Steph. Who knows? Like you just got to figure things out. You know.
Yeah.
But I think scheme wise is like, I think defenses are kind of going through the motions and offense is getting more innovative, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think the defense hasn't caught up yet.
Do you watch much college ball?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you like to see changes there?
Do you think it's doing the like, shot, do you think the shot the best clock. Job they can? Do you think they're doing the best? Like, do you think the college game is the best option for those kids right now that are trying to transition to the NBA?
Well, it depends on the kid. I think, you know, these G League kids obviously made the right decision there. They all helped their stock, all those kids. Mm-hmm. And I think they got people.
I mean, I'd love to see the numbers on the amount of people watching the G League this year as opposed to last year with the bubble.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, that level is high, man. That's
those guys. Yeah, I think there's maybe some better athletes in the G League than there are in the NBA.
Yeah, I think athletically it's pretty equal. Obviously, the top guys are special athletes in the NBA that you really don't have sometimes at the G League level. But on average, I would say it's pretty close, you know, or maybe even that's a younger league. So It might be even better. But there's no LeBrons walking around the G League. That's the only thing. Like the top end guys are a little bit different in the NBA, obviously.
I mean, LeBron's walking around in the NBA.
That's true. I mean, but you got guys like Giannis and Embiid, you know, like You don't have guys like that in the G League. You know what I mean? That's the biggest difference. But I think some of those guys could easily replace some of the role guys. Like Kevin Porter Jr. should be in the NBA right now. That's more off the court stuff, though, than on the court. But in terms of options, I mean, they're going to start this overtime league now. You heard about that?
The high schoolers, right?
Yeah, they're going to pay over. So the things are changing. I mean, in Europe, school and basketball was never really connected. They do have like school teams, but it's not the same. A lot of those kids are playing pro from a young age. And even the kids that aren't super elite, they're getting paid like a little bit. It's just a different system, you know? It's just a different system. And it'd be interesting to see if that could come over here in the States.
Is this the overtime league? Is that going to work out?
Man, overtime does – I mean, overtime usually does things the right way, like – I know a lot of those guys over there and they just, what they touch usually, like, to be honest, like turns to gold. Like they do things the right way. Like they know what they're doing. They don't take shortcuts. They're very,
could they keep the meticulous. Competition? I'd be worried that you're going to lose a sense of competition because again, it's a social media platform, right? They're focused on highlights and the kids that look to have the best dunks, best games, whatever. I'd be nervous paying kids that not about paying them. I think anybody should be able to get paid if they want to, but I think having a league like that might be over-focused on highlights. Like I work with a lot of high school
but
kids.
Can that do you think that could still be a good business model though, even though it might not be traditional basketball that
of course like? I think they can make millions off it. I'm just saying that's what I'm saying, for the kids, because you have kids that haven't made it yet. Are you paying them enough to create, let's say, like generational wealth like the NBA could, or are you giving them, you know, a couple thousand dollars that is big for a 15-year-old?
Yeah, but some of those 15-year-olds will never be good enough to make generational money in the NBA anyway.
Correct. This gets complicated. This gets real complicated.
Like it depends. I think it depends on the kid. You know, I think it depends on the kid.
You have kids on losing teams that have the best highlight and nobody pays attention to the loss anymore. And I'm a competitor. You talked about you wanted to be the best, right? If I'm training, if I'm running a business, if I'm on a podcast, I have the same mindset for all of it that I want to do my best job and I want to compete to win. That's what competition is. I want to win. Right?
But I think a lot of these kids do want to be the best though. Like
I think how we measure the best is shifting, right? I think a lot of them are after maybe the best highlight rather than actually winning. And I can say this from a firsthand experience of working with teams that where we lost, but we had the three biggest names on the team. Okay. And after the game, nobody cared that we lost except maybe the coach and a couple of the guys on the team. Nobody on social media, if the game got on overtime, if it got anywhere, nobody even cared that the high school team lost. And even in the NBA, you watch ESPN now, right? If it's the Pelicans playing somebody, the Pelicans can get blown out by 20 points and the entire highlight is on Zion.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's true. It's true. But I think it could be good, you know. But the thing I like about it is it gives kids options. That's what I like about it. Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants to pay you to play basketball, you should have that option.
Are they going to need agents? Because kids don't know how to handle money. Now you give a 15-year-old – $1 million, he's gonna blow it all. No,
I don't know.
I would have.
Yeah,
I don't know.
All right, going back to the NBA, Zion, Luka, Tatum, and I'll leave you those three. Who's the first to get an MVP, if any?
Luka, I think.
Luka.
Yeah,
I think Zion.
You think Zion before Luka?
I think Zion, because the thing with Zion is he's averaging 26 right now on like 65% from the field. I think that's going to hold weight in the next two or three years.
They're both about 500 teams right now too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That goes into it.
And I don't know. They're probably the two most popular up and coming players.
So if you've listened to as many Combos Court episodes as mine, you're going to, you don't have a chance at getting him to come off Luka.
Nah. Luka's going to, I mean, Luka's just a better player, I think.
I agree.
Yeah. So you just think he has more MVP potential. Why? Because of the highlights and stuff?
Highlights, popularity, and the percentage. I think.
The fans don't vote. The fans don't vote on MVP though.
But people are seeing something in Zion with the shooting percentage that is unprecedented. You probably know more of the actual numbers than I do. But I know his first, I forget what the stat was actually, but it was like his first, I don't know, 2,000 points or whatever it was in the league came on, you know, over 60%. I think he was the first person to ever do that.
Yeah, you know, right. It's interesting. He's been really playing really well lately, and a lot of that's because Stan Van Gundy's changed his role. They're like doing the point Zion thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're showing a new dynamic to his game. I love Zion. I just think Luka is on a different level, you know, from all the young players, and I think he's like the next face of the NBA.
Does Trae Young have the potential to be, if he doesn't have the potential to beat Steph Curry's shooting record, does he have the potential to be number two on that list by the end of his career?
I don't think he's a better shooter than Dame.
No, I was just actually looking at this. Curry's up over, you know, he's like 42 every year. I think in his first three seasons, his points were up. He was like 20. He averaged almost 29 a game.
Well, yeah, all points are up in the league. You know, it's just there's inflation.
But I think he only shoots like 34-35%.
He's not the shooter. Steph is. I think Dame is a better shooter than Trae. The thing is though, with Trae is though, his range is crazy. Like Dame and Steph, that's what puts him in that. Mm-hmm. That's what puts him in that category. Not really efficiency, just his range.
He doesn't have many guys to pass to, which helps.
No,
he has some good guys. He's just. They're just all.
They're good though. They're not. I mean, you look at Curry.
They just fired their coach. You know, they're just in a crazy situation. The thing with Trae though, defense is going to be an issue with him in the playoffs even more than Zion and Luka. Because I mean, Zion and Luka aren't the best defenders, but at least they're big. Yeah. Like Trae Young and help defense is basically non-existent. That's going to be they're going to really have to hide him. And people say Steph Curry. Steph Curry's a lot bigger than Trae, and just a better defender. So that's going to be tough for them when they go deep in the playoffs. When they start, you know, they're going to be trying to get him, targeting him and pick and roll all day. And in help defense, it's just going to be a layup.
It's what they did to Isaiah Thomas.
You know, and Isaiah Thomas, and like actually Isaiah Thomas could fight you a little more than Trae can, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right. Last one that I got. Who's winning the finals this year? Can Brooklyn take it?
I think if the Lakers stay healthy, it's the Lakers. I think Utah could come out of the West if the Lakers don't stay healthy. I like Philly, man. I don't know if they'll win, but I want to really see them win because they have all these guys that get hated on often, like Ben Simmons and Daryl Morey. So it'd be good to see those guys win. You know, everybody loves Joel, but everybody talks crap about Daryl Morey and Ben Simmons. So I want to see them. I think you don't think the Sixers will win?
No, not with this current team. I'm not a Ben Simmons hater, but I don't think he's an NBA champion. Unless he finds himself on a really good team in like his later career.
The team fits a lot better this year. And you don't think he could be the second best player on the championship team? He's the best defender in the league.
Is he?
Yeah. Who's better?
Kawhi?
No.
I'm taking Kawhi.
Not anymore.
I think...
Prime Kawhi with like the Spurs, you could probably make an argument for. But Ben's impact on defense is crazy, man.
Ben, I don't think he could be the second best player on a championship team. If that first best player is a big, like if it's a Joel Embiid, unless maybe like an Anthony Davis, who's, you know, I don't see another Anthony Davis coming up.
Yeah, they got Seth there. They got guys that could space it now, you know. It's better spacing.
So Brooklyn wasn't even on your list. You think no shot?
No. I said I want to see the Sixers win. I don't think they have the best chance.
Why do you like the Sixers? You love Ben Simmons because he gets hated on all the time. And
I want to see people. I want to see people flip their whole narrative once they win. It'll be funny. Yeah, guys.
I think there's more Brooklyn haters now than ever too. Though, like, oh, it's never gonna work.
People love Brooklyn now.
Yeah, well,
people love James Harden now. Like, they hated him when he was with the Rockets. Now, I mean, he is playing great. But obviously, so the key for Brooklyn, I think, is just how well Kevin Durant could play on defense in terms of, like, rim protection, getting back to that Warriors KD mold, because then they'll have, like, interesting lineups. Like, they could play KD at the five on defense and then have, like, Bruce Brown, the five on offense. You see what they're doing with Bruce Brown?
Yeah.
He's like a 6'3 big man.
Yeah.
You know, he's like a hybrid post, as my guy Rashad
Phillips. I feel like the whole team's scoring 20 points a game, too.
Yeah, man. I mean, with that offensive firepower, you always have a chance.
Yeah, defense is overrated, right, Combo?
Yeah, it's overrated.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to end with my selfish question. This is actually kind of funny because I was DMing Combo for like a year, and he didn't know why, but I would ask him, like, yo, what younger players do you think have superstar potential that nobody knows about? And it was for my basketball card collection, right? And so I'm going to ask that same question now. If you had to put money on any of these guys that you think are severely undervalued right now, don't have a lot of shine or whatever, but you think actually have true, like,
but we've potential. But you know all my guys already, because we talked about this.
The Effortless Athlete listeners do not. I keep that close to my chest, so I want to put this out there for the commoners.
Okay, I mean, I told you Christian Wood before the season. I like Kobe White, even though you told me he's killing you. In the DM, you told me that, right?
He's playing great. I mean, he's averaging like 18, 19 a game. He's doing well, but you get these new guys come in like LaMelo, and now everybody's on LaMelo, right? And guys like Kobe White that are having, you know, good years for a sophomore 21-year-old, right? They start to lose. So I'm not doing too well on Kobe White. I love him too. I think he's gonna be an all-star in 2 years.
Well, the one guys that I just think will improve are like, that'll be like superstars.
Superstars.
Yeah, that's tough.
You think Kobe White's a superstar?
No, but he could be a star. He could be like a 20-point scorer in the NBA, 22-point scorer in the NBA.
He could make an all-star team.
I mean, how many superstars are there? There's like four superstars, Bobby, right?
Four?
Yeah.
What four?
I mean, LeBron, KD, Giannis. Who else is a superstar? Luka.
I mean, Zion, he's young, but you wouldn't call Zion a superstar right now?
No. I don't think so.
Too early.
So,
like Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum's not a superstar to me.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I like Ben, I don't think Ben's a superstar.
Harden's
a superstar.
And Kyrie, no.
I think Kyrie's skill level is I think he's the most skilled player in the league. I don't know if I'd call him a superstar though.
All right, so what guys right now that nobody knows about will get to like this level of players we just named?
That nobody knows about.
Knows about them, but you don't think like.
I mean, Jalen Green and Cade Cunningham, you could get those guys. Those guys have crazy ceilings.
Cade Cunningham's been the number one and number two pick in the draft.
Get the Jalen Green card.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Anyway, Combo, I was trying to mix this up, get a different type of guest than we normally have. I wanted a guy with playing experience, podcast experience, all types of experience. And it's been a pleasure watching you grow in this next chapter of your life and seeing all that. You've inspired me to, you know, get off my butt and start this. And I really appreciate having you on. Where can people find you? Go through that whole spiel, and we'll send them your way.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at 12combo. That's ONETWOCOMBO. Combo's Court, wherever you listen to podcasts. Combo's Court on Twitter. Yeah, man. Check me out on wherever you listen to podcasts, as I said. Really appreciate you guys having me on the show.
Thanks, Combo.
Stay on for a second. Stay on for a second.